This is Engaging the Community, a monthly conversation with the president of Missouri State University, Cliff Smart. Welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Scott.
It's been nearly 1 year since the Higher Learning Commission visited and later granted accreditation status to Missouri State University. That final report did come with some recommendations, and I wanted to talk about where the school stands on enhancing existing policies or implementing new ones in regards to those recommendations. First, just briefly explain the accreditation process and some of the highlights from that final report.
Sure. Every 10 years, a team comes from the Higher Learning Commission to Missouri State to evaluate, to make sure that we're carrying out our mission, that we're well managed, that we're producing quality graduates and have quality programs. And so every university, every community college goes through this. And there are a whole variety of things that you do over that 10-year period. You have that you have to check in, and you have to continue to be working on things. And so it was our turn, and really worked on this over a 3 to 4 year process. And we got a great report. We got a fully accredited, no monitoring required over the next 10 years. That's frankly unusual. We were very excited by that. And, you know, and they said really good things, like our statewide mission in public affairs has become ingrained in our campus culture. That wasn't true 10 years ago. And they talked about our increasing work in diversity was recognized, particularly since 2011. That's important to me because I came on board in 2011, and so they recognized our work there. They complimented us on having a complete policy library online, and that our board was appropriately involved in oversight, that we valued freedom of expression, that we had quality programs, that they appreciated the fact that 31 of those had been accredited. They said we were well managed. Our budgeting process was transparent. And so, again, a very good report. But as any accrediting body should do, they identified really four areas that we had could improve in or should continue to work in and make progress in.
Okay. So let's just run down the list then. And what have been some of the action steps since that report about a year ago to address those four areas?
Yeah, so let me identify the four areas, really. Essentially, they said you need to continue to work to develop a fully inclusive multicultural environment. Okay. So that's a big one. While they recognized our progress, we're not done, probably never get done, but there's more work to be done on that. They spent a lot of time on assessment. You know, while they recognized we had made improvement in making sure that there were learning objectives and that we were tracking whether faculty were teaching to those objectives and that we were measuring that. They talked about work to be done there. They talked about they recognized that while we had received national awards for advising, we weren't completely done, and to make sure that all of our students were appropriately advised. And then finally, they talked about our fee structure. They weren't critical of the cost. I mean, it's very affordable, as we all know, to go to Missouri State University, about $7,100 for tuition and fees for undergraduate in-state students for 30 hours. But they did talk about how we need to make sure our students are aware of that cost structure and all the supplemental fees. And so those are the four areas. And you know, we've got groups of people working in each of those, okay, and we've already made progress in a variety of ways.
Let's break down a couple of them. Diversity and inclusion continues to be a main focal point of this school. So what do you think the university has done in the past year to better align with these recommendations and your purpose within the public affairs mission?
The board this year in our new long-range plan has approved essentially two focus areas for us to work on. One is increasing the number of graduates, and the second is creating a more inclusive climate. And so they are related. We know, as you heard me say in our State of the University address, our retention and graduation rates for African-American, Hispanic, first-generation Pell-eligible students, not the same as the university as a whole. So we have a whole slew of efforts working in those. We have a group working on living learning communities and connecting those to cohorts and classes to help people relate to each other in the university. We're redesigning our GEP 101 class. That's our introduction to the university mm-hmm. class, and we've seen success in that. We've increased our funding of and staffing of multicultural programming. We've improved our facilities for our multicultural students as well as our veteran students. We're finishing up a whole new veterans area in the library that'll be open here in the next month or so. We continue to work on retention of our underrepresented faculty and staff to connect them to each other and encourage them to form affinity groups and developing mentoring programs. We've rolled out diversity training for all new faculty. And so there are a whole variety of initiatives there to all across the board to work on improving our campus climate. And I really think we're making progress. We're not done. Can we still have a crazy racist incident somewhere occur on campus? Of course we can. But we're working to increase the diversity of our faculty and staff, to recruit more students from all different kinds of backgrounds, and then provide them the support while they're here so that they can be successful.
You're always kind of assessing how things are playing out, and maybe there is some incident, as you mentioned, that is hard to prevent, but is it also about how you deal with those types of situations as they arise?
No question. I mean, we've seen some examples of that this year. You cannot prevent bizarre things from occasionally happening. You know, I mean, this year we had a homeless man enter the PSU in the middle of the night and die. I mean, you can't prevent that kind of stuff from happening. Weird, bizarre things are going to happen. But you're exactly right. The way you ought to be measured is how you respond to those kind of unusual, unexpected kinds of things. And I think our management team, our faculty, our academic administrators are much more in tune if we have a bias-related incident that's reported to us. Well, you know, if it's a result of an interaction in class, we have a process set up to refer that to the provost's office, to work through the department, to make sure both that we know what happened and if something shouldn't have happened, that there's conversation about how to avoid those kind of things. And so I think we are well positioned to deal with those kinds of incidents. And frankly, I hope we don't have any. But yes, that's a part of the diversity training. That's a part of thinking through things and just being cognizant of that we serve a whole slew of students from of all ages, of all backgrounds, literally from all over the world, who politically are very, very conservative to very liberal to everything in between. And you know, and that's a piece of valuing others' ideas and respecting freedom of speech. And I think we do pretty well on those kind of things.
Then let's move on to the fee structure. The recommendation was to simplify that structure. So let me ask, what was confusing about it, I guess, in the Higher Learning Commission's mind?
Unlike some other places that have put fees college-wide on extra fees college-wide on all courses taught, we typically haven't done that. Our structure is X dollars per credit hour plus student fees that total X. That's pretty clear. I think what, you know, of the 4,000 courses we offer, about several hundred of them have a supplemental fee attached to them. You know, so for example, in an anatomy class, there's a supplemental fee because you're going to be working on a cadaver, and those things are cost money to have. Or art classes, or electronic art classes, there may be fees for supplies that go with that. Or the, you know, so If you're doing student teaching, there's a supplemental fee to help fund the oversight that goes with that. And so we have a variety of classes that have additional fees on there. We don't do that to raise money for the university. It's not going into a general fund. It's really going into pay for the specific expenses associated with certain classes. And what they're telling us is you need to make sure students know that. So, you know, if you have students that want to be elementary school teachers, that they need to know, you know, as a part of that whole process, hey, when you go to be a student teacher, there's going to be a $300 fee associated with that. And so we've got a group, our registrar and others, working to make sure that on our website and other places that those supplemental fees, their existence and how much they are clear to students so they can make a good choice. I still think we're a value option. Great quality programs and classes at a very reasonable cost, but we don't want to have hidden costs. That's what this is about, making sure you're completely transparent on the cost of being a student here.
Okay. And the other recommendations and highlights from that final report from the Higher Learning Commission can be found at missouristate.edu/HLC.
Yep. We continue to work for the next visit. We have a team that's been appointed to continue to move the ball of various task forces working on different categories of things supervised by this committee. And so we hope to be in a very good position as we file interim reports and continue to improve everything about our university.
President Cliff Smart, thanks for joining us on Engaging the Community.
Thanks, Scott.